कन्याविहारे राधा माधव पुण्यविहारे जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभा यशोरनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन सोरनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जमुना तीर वन चारि जमुना तीर वन चारि कुञ्जविहारे जय राधा माधव कुञ्जविहारे Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
When Srila Prabhupada was asked how to chant, he gave a very simple formula which I would love you to try this morning. He said, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Please do this now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
hear yourself, hear
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
A little louder, please.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Gaura Nithai Jaya Gaura Nithai Jaya Radha Govanandari Radha Govanandari Radhe Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramaraja Kacharya Astata Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Srila Esi Bhaktivedan Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai
Hare Krishna. I wish all of you a good morning and I welcome you to this class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I welcome all of you. There is a lot of you who is not in the temple room, the internet audience who is seeing everything on Skype. Hare Krishna, welcome.
Mayapur TV.
Mayapur TV. This is a wonderful place. You must visit New Govardhan. Internet only gives 1% of the beauty of and the spirituality, the sanctity of this farm. So you must visit. I want to also greet all those devotees who are slowly arriving from other places to join for the Tree of Life retreat, which starts this evening. And I also would like to welcome those of you who are in the WUFA program to join us this morning in a philosophical lecture. It's actually on the art of prayer. We are dealing today with a wonderful prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Before I read the translation of this Sanskrit verse, I would like to frame this verse into the present context in which it appears. As you might know, who have been with us for the last few days, this was spoken by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is a problematic person. He is a great demon who was aiming at the full control of the universe, a control like no politician, including Stalin or Hitler, had ever exerted. He was really very determined to control all living beings. And in order to do so, he first, and that's interesting, he didn't go for any political movement. He went up the Himalayas, found a very high mountain, and engaged in severe austerities. So severe that at the end, he was just standing up on his toes, arms raised with the flames of power, the power which he had gained by his self-control bursting out of his head. And he became really powerful, not by political maneuvering, but by just doing tremendous austerities in seclusion, totally lonely, tucked away from the world. At the end, Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, appeared before him because he saw this person was just so powerfully knocking at the door of the laws of nature. He was disturbing with his power, in other words, the regular proceedings in the universe, that the creator thought, I must interfere and see what he wants and pacify him in some ways. Otherwise, he's already shooting flames from his head. What will happen if in 1 month or so? So Lord Brahma came, when he came, you know, it was quite something else. He came from a totally different dimension and made himself visible to Hiranyakashipu. He came riding on a swan carrier. There was effulgence of light around him. And Hiranyakashipu did something which many, many people would do in that situation. He mistook Lord Brahma to be the Lord of everything. Lord Brahma was another very powerful being of this universe, but he was not God. So he addressed him with words which are actually true only when you address God, but it was just so overwhelming. You know, he had not eaten for a long, long time. He had not breathed even or inhaled air to maintain himself. He was a mystic yogi. And then he saw this effulgent Brahma and he was just overwhelmed. He threw himself on the ground in humble obeisances. And he spoke these prayers. Now, it's very interesting that these prayers, as I said, were really given by Hiranyakashipu to the wrong address. He thought Brahma is God. I had such a thing in Birmingham. I was in the university, and I gave a program, I believe, on what to do to attain peace, something very general, and it was full. And before me, there were some entertainment acts, and one act was the famous pop star. I didn't know him, but so I have forgotten his name. The super famous pop star from London. He had just come from South Africa. He came, you know, really very energetically on the stage, and he started to sing. And the moment he started to sing, something happened in the audience. All the ladies came, you know, well dressed. It was a very important event, and they had their mobile phones, and they rushed forward, and they filmed this pop star, and they worshipped him. They brought, you know, they tried to catch his feet, his lotus feet, I mean, not lotus feet, his feet, and they looked up to him with adoration. They wrote little letters to him, like, please take me for a stroll in the university gardens, and so on and so forth. And I really saw that the element of devotion, which is in every human being, was given to this pop star. But this devotion, I was thinking as I was leaning back in my seat and going over my notes, because I was supposed to speak after this pop star. You know, this adoration belongs to God. Hare Krishna.
when I came on the stage, I almost said it, but then I would have been a mood destroyer, you know. So I had to really control my tongue to not say something which they would understand. But my God, it was. I don't know if you have seen it. We have seen it. We are the old people when the Beatles appeared or the Rolling Stones. People just would faint. They would worship them. And I was myself part of the legendary Goranga band. You know, when we had concerts, people threw flowers at us, rose bouquets, and they came to want pictures, especially Matajis, you know. And while they worshipped us like anything, just because we had a stage presence, I suppose. So Brahma had a tremendous presence. He came, and Hiranyakashipu was so overwhelmed that he started to pray to him, like you pray for God. Now, my spiritual master says something very important about this mistaken prayer. He says, whatever a person may sacrifice to other so-called gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me, Krishna, alone. But it is offered without true understanding. I am the only enjoyer. God can say such things, you know. And the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true nature will fall down. So my spiritual master takes these prayers of this mystic demon and says they are really only meant for Krishna alone. He takes it from this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, but they are offered without any true understanding. All these girls, you know, well-dressed and fashionably dressed girls who rush towards to the stage offering worship to this pop star. It was really, they were Indian girls, and they have this had this worshipful mood in their blood, so to say, in their genetic codex. They offered their mobile telephones in circles, you know. They offered, they saw something wonderful in this pop star, some investment of Krishna's energy, some charisma, I guess, and they worshipped that without the full understanding that which goes to God. So I will now read this verse to you, and you will see from Srila Prabhupada's explanations that he says that he takes all the things which Brahma, Hiranyakashipu says, and applies them directly to the right person of worship, the Supreme Lord. So here is the. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Is my English comprehensible?
Yes.
Good. Translation. I offer my obeisances to the original personality within this universe, who is cognizant and who can apply his mind and real. Oh, that's the wrong verse. Sorry. Your Lordship is the origin of the life of this material world. You are the master and controller of the living entities, both the moving ones, like pop stars, and the stationary. And you inspire their consciousness. You are the inspiration of what everyone feels in their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge-acquiring senses. And therefore, you are the great controller of all the material elements and their qualities. And you are the controller of all desires. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that the original source of everything is life. Brahma was instructed by the Supreme Life, Krishna. Krishna is the supreme living entity. Nityo Nityananam Chetanas Chetananam. And Brahma is also a living entity, but the original source of Brahma is Krishna. Prabhupada makes it very clear. Therefore, that Hiranyakashipu had the wrong address. Krishna is the origin of everything. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mataha parataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Krishna is the original source of Brahma, who is the original source of this universe. Brahma is a representative of Krishna, and therefore all the qualities and activities of Krishna are also present in Lord Brahma. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine. Brahma is the creator of the universe. He has what you call a delegated power, a power which is given to him by the Supreme Lord to do, to create the different planetary systems and even the living beings on them. Now, this position of carrying power is not easy for anyone. I believe all of us carry some power with themselves, some power of the body, they have some strengths, some power of intelligence, and so on. And sometimes people become impressed by this and praise us. Oh, you are very, very powerful, very intelligent, and very wise. But it's important for all those who carry some power, and I believe to some extent, more or less, everyone does so, to know that from where we have this power, who has given us the intelligence, who has given us the strength to act, and not become bewildered if others praise us. See, Lord Brahma is extremely powerful. I mean, he really carries power. He's not just like, he doesn't just carry a cooking spoon and can cook maybe some very nice vegetable preparations. He has more power than that. He prepares the whole universe with all the systems of universal laws which apply to them. And he's often praised by living entities as the supreme. Already in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a dialogue between him on this subject, between his son Narada Muni. And Narada Muni has this doubt. He says, some people say you are the Supreme Lord because you're creating everything. And Brahma just stops him and says, you are my son. You should not have this doubt. I'm a small living entity who has been given the power by the Supreme Lord. I'm not the Lord myself. I, in fact, feel extremely uncomfortable when people praise me like this. But Brahma is so powerful that sometimes when Krishna appeared, he had a problem with this. It was once when Krishna, during his appearance, had just performed a wonderful, wonderful, marvelous act. What he had done is, there was a great snake demon. You and the Govardhan farm have also snakes, but nothing in comparison with the Agasura snake demon. He was a python. When he would open his mouth became a cloud catcher. like Mount Morning. In the Aboriginal language, the mountain is called Cloud Catcher because it's so high, and it, when the clouds travel, they are stopped by the Cloud Catcher mountain. Agasura was a demon who could open his mouth so much that it's described that the clouds were hovering over the upper lip. He swallowed Krishna and wanted to kill Krishna, but Krishna, it's a long story, I will just tell you, emerged out of the demon, just flew out of it and killed him in this way. And afterwards, when Krishna was just standing there on the ground outside of the body of the python, who was now dead, the soul of Agasura came out of his body into the firmament, the sky, looking, and then he had found Lord Krishna, and he came down with force and entered the body of Krishna, just in this way attaining liberation from material existence. So the higher beings, the demigods in the universe, had witnessed this Leela, or this pastime of the Lord, and were extremely amazed and offered Krishna praise. They were beating on their huge kettle drums, boom, 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 and they rained down a shower of flowers on Krishna and adored him like this. So Brahma heard this noise, that the drumming of the kettle drums, boom, 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 boom. When they sound in the universe, he knows something has happened, and he left his planet to see what had happened, and he found out that Krishna was worshipped by his servants, the demigods. And he looked at Krishna and thought, I wonder if he deserves that praise. I will have an eye on him. So the opportunity came next day. Krishna went out with all his friends to take a noon lunch at the banks of the Yamuna. The friends had spread leaves, was very organic, on some stones, and they had taken their lunch packets. They partook a wonderful meal. They joked with Krishna, Krishna joked with them in many ways. Sometimes they said, Krishna, I want to show you a special preparation which my mother cooked. Please close your eyes and open your mouth. And Krishna opened his mouth, wondering what was coming. But then the friends didn't put a sweet or something nice into the expectant mouth of Krishna, but they put a flower. I think it must have been an edible flower like you have here on the farm. Ajita had fed me with such a flower. And it went into Krishna's mouth, and Krishna made a face like this, and then all the cowherd boys were just laughing. It was such a sweet scene, how their friend was deceived by them. So then Krishna, in the course of eating, leaned over to the plates of his other friends and ate something and said, I'm taking it by force from you. And in this way they had in Australia you would maybe say a jolly good time. Brahma witnessed all of this from his swan carrier, but he kept himself hidden. He has his mystic abilities. He didn't watch it, and he thought, no, this can't be God. I mean, God is the origin of the Vedic scriptures. who give precise rules what is clean and what is unclean, and to eat from someone in whose plate his saliva is there, is just so absolutely moochy. Moochy is the word the Vedic scriptures use. It means dirty. It's a dirty habit. And according to these high Vedic rules, this is really something which only low-class people who have fallen maybe in a romantic swoon with each other can do. But it's not what a cultured person would do. If you are in India and you are a guest of a high-class family and you would do this, like leaning over to another person's plate and eating from his plate, you would be, people would have a very bad opinion of you. They would think you are the most uncultured of all beings on this planet. You know, they would see like, so Brahma saw this. And he said, no, he's not God. People just are deceived by his mystic potencies by which he can kill huge demons. But I also, I'm the creator of the universe, I have also mystic potencies. And I will use them now and will see if he is able to counteract these mystic potencies. I don't know if you know, when the wizard who is able to do some wizardry meets another wizard, they often engage in a contest who has superior magical powers. Hare Krishna. I don't know, they are not very usual in Australia, but there are circles. And before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was associated with a magical circle, and it was known. When there was a more powerful wizard, the other wizard, they would see what is his stuff, what can he do, what can he create, what magic can he play. In old times, I don't want to bewilder you, there were really powerful wizards, and the Bhagavatam speaks of some of these demons who used magic. Anyways, Brahma thought, I will use my mystic powers on him and see if he's really God. And what he did is, he made an arrangement to lure Krishna away from his cowherd boys and cows. And as Krishna was in the deep forest, he came and by his mystical potencies stole all the cows and the calves of Krishna. These were a few millions, really. I mean, a lot. And he brought them into another part of the universe where he locked them up in a cage. It is described because he had some doubt. Maybe he's God, and maybe Krishna is God, and maybe these are his dear associates. He created by his potency a bed for all the cowherd boys and cows, just in case, you know, he didn't want to be accused to be impolite. He kidnapped them, but he provided nice circumstances for them. And they were not aware of anything. They were tired. They were sleeping under the mystical illusory potency. So when Brahma came back to see what Krishna would do now, he saw that all the cows, actually the calves and the cowherd boys, were still there. He was bewildered. I just taken them away. So he went to the cave where they were lying in mystic slumber to reassure himself. But he saw they were all in the cave. So now he was thinking, I mean, there are two sets now of calves and cowherd boys. I'm sure I stole the original. Let me go down and see. So he saw, and he could see. No, these must be the original. They have the same features. They laugh the way I heard them laughing. They act the way I saw them acting. I mean, what is the original said here? And at this moment, Krishna, who had expanded himself into all these unlimited calves and cowherd boys, which Brahma stole, and had expanded himself so well that everything was the same. Even some of the cloth had a rip, you know. In Krishna's expansions, they also had a little rip. They were just totally identical. And Brahma saw. But what happened next was beyond his power of comprehension. He couldn't understand at all what was happening. Because before his eyes, each one of the expanded calves and cowherd boys started to transform and took on not the form of the stolen cows. I don't want to make it too complicated. They took on the form of exactly the form of God which Brahma was worshipping. It's a four-handed form called Vasudev, Narayan form of Krishna. And each one of the millions of calves, of the millions of cowherd boys, became a four-handed Vishnu. And now listen what happened. All the universe, all the saints witnessed this and came down to offer praise to the Lord which Brahma was worshipping. And as he saw this, he became like a deity village. You know, he didn't move any longer. He just stumbled. He fell from his carrier on the ground. He started to just witness this, and he had a blank out. It was too much. It is when you want to show your power before a person who is more powerful than you. If you want to show, for instance, how intelligent you are before someone who is more intelligent, you will always be defeated and you will look like a fool. And this happened to Lord Brahma. Krishna took all these forms away and stood before the totally mesmerized Brahma in the form of Lord Krishna. Brahma, who had just seen what had happened, who had just seen his Lord, offered him prayers. But he was slightly disoriented. You know, he didn't know. At first he offered his prayers in standing position. Then he thought, oh no, what have I done? I better fall down. Then he fell down before Krishna on the ground in the dust, and he wetted the dust with his tears. But then he thought, oh, now I can't see the beautiful face of Krishna. I want to see his face and his form. And he got up again, stood up and prayed to Krishna in standing position. But then he thought, what am I doing standing here? I should take the humble position. And he again fell. He was just like a, I don't know, and as children we have sometimes these little people, you know, you go like zoom and they fall, and then you go like zoom and they stand up. Do you have them in Australia, these children toys? Zoom, 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 zoom. He was going up and down, up and down, up and down. Because he was just so much overwhelmed by the two qualities of Krishna. One was his tremendous power, and that made him fall down. And the other was his enormous sweetness. How beautiful he looked. And that made him rise up to see the Lord. And so in this way he couldn't decide, should I stand or should I lie down? It was not possible. So Brahma in this way was corrected by Lord Krishna. You must know Krishna, when he is in Vrindavan, he keeps his majesty and his opulence hidden, and he engages in loving pastimes with his many, many devotees. And this would not be possible. I mean, if Krishna would act like God, no one would dare to ride on his shoulders and do all these many games which boys like to do. So in order to give a full room and full expression, Krishna hides his godhood and acts in a sweet, loving way. What Krishna thought when Brahma challenged him for a duel, so to say, of mystical potencies, he thought, he is from me and he does all this universal power. He does all this creation in the universe. I will act very peacefully with him. I will not chastise him severely. No, I will be just very kind to him, and be very loving with him. I will mildly correct him. I will not challenge him or anything. After all, he's my son. He's born from the lotus flower of my navel. I will just mildly correct him. Hare Krishna. So all of us have some little potency, some little power. We may not be Lord Brahma and have such abilities as Brahma has, but we certainly have our powers also. And we should know, as we are using these powers, these abilities which we have, that they are given to us by Krishna. They are borrowed to us. And what we should do with these powers as devotees is just engage them in the Lord's service. If you have some power to build a building, do that for Krishna. If you have some power to grow nice vegetables, do this and offer the results of the fruits of the land to Krishna. When I was walking with Ajit through the flower gardens and vegetable gardens, we were just amazed of the varieties. Mulberries and this little, have you seen this little red fruits who are so full of vitamin C? Have you seen them? Which human being could create such a variety? In no laboratories it is possible. And then we looked at the different types of salads and we ate them. I ate so much of the salad I became like a cow which had broken into a vegetable garden. I was just amazed of the prana, the power which is there in these vegetables. But, you know, which gardener can say these are my vegetables, which are my creations? No. You borrowed something. You borrowed the seeds. You borrowed some abilities. You took some water, which was not your own creation. You took the sunshine. It's all from the Lord. So anything, whether it be gardening or giving a retreat, like I will do, start again this evening, I believe, Tree of Life retreat. Anything you do, it is because the Lord has given you these things. He has given you intelligence, or he has given you books in which you do research. He says this, I'm the original intelligence. It comes from me. So as devotees, we wish to acknowledge this. And we acknowledge it through our activities, of worship. We say one verse every evening. Kayena vacha manasendriyeva. Whatever I have done today with my words, whatever I thought today with my intelligence, whatever I have, so to say, moved and created with my hands. Narayana yeti samapayat Tvam, I offer this to you, my Lord. And if you do it, do something like this, if you purposefully engage your abilities which you have in Krishna's service and stop denying that it is from Him alone that everything originates, then the Lord will give you more abilities because you have not misspent them, but you have used them in worship. Please do this meditation today as you start now your busy day. Try to be mindful of this simple devotional truth. Everything, when you go into your homes, when you cook for your children, when you do gardening or building or moving earth and stones and lakes and everything which you do in this wonderful project, try to think, I'm doing this now for Krishna. I'm offering this to Krishna. And you will see how an entirely different quality of spiritual life will be with you. Don't be a theoretical pretender. Be a practical spiritualist. That will help you very much to contact the real life, the devotional life, and you will see the Lord will give you more and more as you give more and more back to Him. Hare Krishna. I'm looking at the time. I know it's not retreat time, and the retreats we go up till 9 o'clock, but here we go stop a little bit earlier. Does anyone of you have a question? Vinod, is that your full name or?
Vinod Vihari.
Vinod Vihari, even better, yes.
Maharaj, I just wanted to ask you, in this verse, Hiranyakashipu addresses Lord Brahma, is it also the control of desires? That's the end of the verse.
Yeah.
The control of desires. And it seems that desires is something that we own, we can't do many other things, but at least we have control of our desires. So I wanted to ask whether Hiranyakashipu is actually just flattering Lord Brahma, or there's some truth to that matter.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Should I repeat for you Vinod Bihari's question?
Yes.
It seems we own the desire, but here Hiranyakashipu says you are the controller of desires. And so did Hiranyakashipu just flatter, or is it the truth? I would love to answer this in relationship to Krishna. Vinod Bihari Prabhu, upon closer investigation, you find out that you are really not controlling your desires, but they control you. Sometimes I think we have this, oh, I wish I wouldn't desire to see this movie, but I desire it. But, and my mind will not be peaceful before I have done this. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, I wish, I often say to my assistant, I wish I would not desire to read this book, but I desire it because I feel it is useful for my service. But I also feel maybe I am just excusing myself with this. I wish I wouldn't desire to eat too much, but I desire to eat too much. I wish I would not be so sexually interested, but I am. I think we are controlled by a plethora, if this is an English word, by a multitude of desires, and we don't own them, they own us. There's a very beautiful prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I would love, because you are a wonderful Vaishnav, I would love to recommend you to read this today because it is on this. It's the Gopinath prayers. They have three parts, and in the third part, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in humble prayer, "My Lord, my mind is not under my control. It does not want to accept any spiritual authority. But you, Tumi Hrishikesha, you are Hrishikesh, the controller of the senses. You please come into my heart and control my desires. So please, you will find it. It is very nicely, you will find it very nice, and I just can say it from memory, but there's a lot of more in that third part on this. Our desires are unfortunately not owned by us. We are conditioned souls, and we are supplied according to our karma, the previous activities, with a certain dhriti. Dhriti means determination. And that determination is not more powerful than these various desires which arise when you have contact with the objects of the senses. You know, sangat sanjayate karma. Now, you know this is in the Gita, sangat sanjayate karma. In contact, in sangha, with the object of the senses, all of a sudden desires appear and spring up in the conditioned soul. Now, as a serious devotee, we want to know, well, is there anything which can control desires? Good, Hrishikesh Krishna can do this. And for a long time, I was searching for the answer until I heard it one day from Giriraj Maharaj. We were in Philadelphia, of all places, in an ancient mansion where we had a holy name retreat. And Giriraj Maharaj quoted something from the Nectar of Instruction, text 4. You can find it there in the purport. It is in the purport. There Prabhupada says, when you have sangha, association with devotees, in their association, good desires come in your heart. In other words, the same principle which Krishna talks about in the Gita, and Prabhupada quotes this verse, sangat sanjayate karma, you know. So he says, by associating with devotees, your spiritual desires come. And then he quotes sangat sanjayati kaman. It's the verse which Krishna uses for explaining how desires take possession of us by just looking at certain objects. When I saw Jimi Hendrix, you may not know him, he is a musician, playing on the island of Fehmarn his guitar, yeah, and you know, doing his Jimi Hendrix things, I just saw it as an innocent youth. I was maybe 14 years old, and I left that island by saying, I will play like Jimi Hendrix. I took guitar lessons, and we had to learn the simple stuff, and I said to the guitar teacher, I want to play like Jimi Hendrix, not like do 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 do. Not like this. The desire had sprung up by this association, and it took me some time to overcome this desire. By I eventually learned to play violin. Not I ended up with a violin, which I feel is much more expressive than a guitar. And I took to the classical music, you know, good German boy, you know. But I remember, this is how it starts. So you must have association with devotees, with good devotees. And in this association, it's not just about eating. Eating is one part of the association. I saw one devotee, he came here to the class. He had his he had something to eat with him, and he started to eat in the class, true to the Australian law of nature, eat and surf, you know. I so much smiled that he became, that he looked insecure. I was saying, he's gone, therefore I say it, so that he has no, he's a wonderful devotee, most probably I don't know him. But I never saw such a thing in my life. Maybe now by his association I will also come to the lecture with my lunch packet. Hare Krishna. So association means you really talk with these devotees about Krishna. Krishna, the least talked about subject in the Hare Krishna movement, I found out. Everything else except for Krishna's pastimes and qualities is discussed. So you talk about Krishna, you talk about spiritual subjects, you talk about these things, and then you follow the examples of devotees. And just by being in contact with devotees, you know, you will see how you develop a superior type of desires. It will come to you, just naturally. You will be, Prabhupada speaks like a spiritual infection, he calls it. When you are with a person who coughs, you get it also. But if you are with a person who talks about Krishna, you will also get it. It will also come into your heart. This association is necessary. It will save us from this problem of having desires which are impossible. I think we all know, Vinod Bihari's question has a deep existential question behind it. You know, how can I overcome my various desires which bind me to the material energy? By association. By association they came into you, and by association superior desires will come to you. Thank you so much, Vinod Bihari. Now I would love to end this class. I thank you very much for your participation in these subject matters. I wish you a wonderful day. Don't forget your one thing which I recommend to you. As you are acting today, just think how you can do this for Krishna and return back the favor which he has given to you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Hari Hari Bo.